God bless you. Well, I tell you what, this is an old shirt. My little boy, who's 6'8" tall, grew out of this shirt when he was 13 years old, and he's 50 now. So I've only worn this shirt two or three times in the last 20, 30 years. So it still looks brand new. You know, it just hangs in the closet, gathering dust. In fact, I was going to wear it for Mother's Day, and I pulled it down, and there was so much dust on it, I couldn't clean it, so Lily had to throw it in the washing machine. But it didn't come out in time to make it to church. So just part of the deal, part of the deal. Well, let me ask you something. You know, with all this been going on, we've had a week filled with all kinds of junk, things that we don't maybe normally have to deal with, you know. We got tore up carports and sheds and torrential rains and winds blowing, trees down, power lines, everything that is out of the ordinary. You know, and sometimes we just need an answer to things. You ever been that way? I know I am. Sometimes I just need an answer. But do we turn to God for that answer first? Do we turn to Him? When we really need an answer, do we really turn to Him? Do we have enough peace that is within us that we say we have? You know, we have the peace of the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell within us so that we live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit, do as the Spirit directs us to do. But do we really turn to His presence? Something for y'all to think about. You know, with this hurricane, what was his name? Beryl? That's always seemed funny to me how they give everybody a name, you know. Kind of sticks with them. I don't know any Beryls, so I can't call them a hurricane. Or maybe it's a hemicane, huh? Maybe. What a storm. You know, wind, rain, tornadoes, flooding, trees uprooted, snapped off. I mean, that wind is capable of lots of stuff. It's like running water. I asked some of the folks every once in a while, I said, where do you think the Grand Canyon came from? If you don't think running water isn't destructive, where do you think the Grand Canyon came from? That sometimes that makes people think. Sometimes it goes right over their head. But snapped off, anything not tied down or insecure, blown away. Maybe some of y'all had some of that, you know. Power poles were broken, power lines down, causing trouble, catching on fire, burning things down. I mean, just roads blocked, flooded, and impassable sometimes. We've had the full gamut of weather here in the last 3 or 4 months, have we not? I was starting about April the 6th. I got it on my calendar. I'm going to tell you, you got to be prepared for anything. And the way we stay prepared is we have that presence of God in our hearts and in our lives. You know, it's one thing to walk up here and pray a prayer and accept Jesus Christ. That's one thing. And I've told y'all before that salvation is just the beginning of the walk. It's just the beginning. It's the place that you start. That's your starting spot. You start there. You start this race with life at an altar, at a time of prayer, with acceptance of Christ into your heart and into your life. You see, all of these things that have been happening sounds like life to me. Jesus never told us it was going to be wonderful. He didn't tell us it was going to be easy. He didn't say anything about how happy we was going to be with life. He didn't say none of that. But yet sometimes that's the gospel that we try to shove down people's throats. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be so great. Well, duh, you ain't read the Word of God yet, because He never said that. What he did say, though, is that you could have peace within you, that no matter what happened to you, everything's going to be all right. You see, that's the peace that passes all understanding. You ever thought about that little scripture? Peace that passes all understanding? You ought to dwell on that sometime. What kind of peace that passes all of your understanding, my little finite mind, my little carnal mind, if it's beyond what I can think or imagine, where is that? Only in the Spirit. Only in the Spirit of God. Only in the Holy Spirit living within you. Only walking in the Spirit with Him will you have that kind of peace. I mean, it's a no-brainer to me. I read it too many times. I read about it too many times. Sometimes it just overcomes me when I'm reading it. So you see, sometimes the storms of life come and they try to turn the power off. You know, with Jesus, you got power living within you. You got power that is right here with you. His very presence in this building. Because you see, we all came and gathered in His name. And He said, when you do that, He is there with you. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes He's so heavy in His presence, it just takes me by storm. It overcomes me. You know, I get to where it doesn't matter what's going on around me, only Him. Only focusing on Him. Only on that peace that comes within me, that no matter what comes against me, nothing takes me down. Do you live that way? Do you want to live that way? You see, you got to get a hold to Him, and He will get a hold to you. Once you get a hold of Him, let me tell you something. Don't turn Him loose. Don't turn Him loose. Can I tell you that you can get closer and closer and closer and closer? In fact, that's what He wants you to do, to get so close to Him that the world don't see you anymore. It only sees Him. Only sees Him. And through the peace of God, you can do it. I told y'all before, you know, old Home Depot used to have a saying, said, you can do it and we will help. Well, let me tell you something. You can do it and God will help. Jesus will be right here to help you. All this hurricane and all these storms and all these tornadoes, all this destruction. And yet here we are today. Here we are today in the house of God. Come to worship Him. No matter what happened, this life in the Spirit goes on. It goes on. Now, I got to tell you, I got a funeral that I'm going to be helping the family with on Tuesday. 40-year-old guy, never been married, no children. Just as happy-go-lucky guy, now this is the family telling me. Just an all-around good guy, give the shirt off his back, help anyone do anything at any time. And that's what he loved to do, was help others. But you see, he was helping others when he was tragically killed in an accident. They were moving trees that had fallen and one fell on him. But you see, he was in a storm, but yet he was doing what came natural to him, was to go help someone else. Do we do that? Even in the storm, does the storms of life affect you so much that you can't help somebody? Does it overtake your mind? Does it overtake your body? Does it overtake the way you think? Does it make you angry to the point where you can't do anything? Now, I know most of y'all in here, and I dare say that I don't know of any of y'all that fit the picture that I just painted. That you would be willing to help anyone at any time do anything. I know that. But you see, there are those moments in our lives when we need to remember that. We need to remember the love and the peace of God that should be residing within us that helps us through those bad times. It helps us through those times of uncertainties. Was anybody in here certain when the power was going to come back on at their house? That was an uncertain thing. In fact, if you called the Chico line, it said, to be determined. Say, we don't even know when we're going to get the power on, so we can't tell you. But I can truthfully tell you that with that peace of God in your life, it don't matter. Because you're going to do what you need to do when you need to do it. You see, you're just going to pick up with that power and keep on putting one foot in front of the other no matter what. We're going to be people that are going to get out and go help their neighbors. That's the first thing that you do after a storm's come through. Especially if your place weathered the storm, then you go start helping others that weren't quite as fortunate. You see, that's what we do. But that's also what Christ does for each and every one of us. Even though sometimes when we weather the storm, sometimes we forget Him. Don't look at me like you ain't never had that experience. Sometimes we do. We forget. But you know something? He don't forget us. He's still right where we left Him. He's still right there and well able to take care of us if we will allow Him to. If we will step up and say, Lord, I am so sorry. Please help me. I've never not had a time that He hadn't helped me. Never not. In my little short walk. You see, that storms try to turn the power of God off in your life. Can I tell you that the enemy is good at finding the switch? He's real good at it. He's had lots of practice. Lots of practice. He's been around for a long time. Lots of practice. And He knows right where to turn your switch off. He knows right where to push your button. He knows. Anybody remember those old light switches that used to not be a switch, but it was two buttons? Off and on. Anybody remember that? I do as a kid. Yeah, and a pull chain when you had one light bulb hanging in the center of the room. Yeah. And that was also the place you plugged the plug into because it had an extension on it. Yeah. I've been there and done that. But I remember them old push buttons because that was the way my grandmother's house was. And the wires that ran through the attic were bare wires on insulators screwed down to the top of the joist. Man, I'm going to tell you, you didn't want to climb around that attic very much. Yeah, they didn't let me go up there or I would have. They let me look at them, but I didn't get to go up there. So you see, He's always trying to turn the power of God off in our life. But I'm going to tell you what, when the peace of God resides within you, He can't turn the power off. He cannot turn the power off. Because when that peace is within you, nothing else matters. Nothing matters. None of it matters. All the temporal things around us, it don't matter. Because we know what does matter, and that's the souls of men, women, and children. That is our walk with Him on a daily basis. That is what matters. That's reaching out to a lost and dying world. And they're dying out there, let me tell you. They're killing each other and they're dying spiritually. Or they're trying to kill each other. You know, people's minds are getting so warped power and riches, that's the way they live. See, we need to be praying for every one of them in high places that they get a right mind, that they get the mind of Christ, that they get the heart right with God, that they get saved and get on their way to heaven. Because I'm going to tell you what, the evil out there has overtaken them. I'm sure some of them didn't start out that way, but that's the way they are now. But you know something? As long as you're breathing, there's still hope. There's still hope. Then the power of prayer still has a lot of power. And we need to be praying that way as a church, as a body of believers. We need to pray for those who have rule and authority over us. The same way as we pray for our military and our first responders and anybody else. Those who do not know Jesus Christ need him. And we know that they need him. And a lot of them know that they need him. They just won't surrender. All it takes is surrender. So he comes in and he tries to turn off the power. He tries to flood us with worry. Now, I'm not the only one that has had worry in my life. I know some of y'all out there, y'all probably did. Maybe some of you didn't, but you know. But you see, worry is a dark room where you develop a negative attitude. You ever thought about that? You develop a negative attitude with worry because worry begets worry begets worry. Sooner or later, you are pessimistic about everything. Word of God said, we're supposed to be happy folks. Good, bad, or indifferent, we're supposed to be happy. We are supposed to rejoice even when we suffer. He didn't say walk around gloom and doom. How in the world are you going to win somebody if you're a pessimist all the time? You can't do it. They want to get away from you. Not everybody likes to be around a pessimist. Y'all like it? You know? What you want to do is see their hearts changed. You want to see that peace of God within them. And when they are touched by the peace of God and when they truly get a hold of it and it gets a hold of them, their whole life will change. Their whole attitude will change. You know, John talked about that attitude is your life, and I shared with him after service. You know, I got a little sign on my desk that says that. Your attitude is your life. I've had that same sign since about 1982. We had 1,250 of them printed up and gave them to every employee of Superior Homes at that time. And I still have mine. That's what the boss man wanted done, so that's what we did. And we give one to everybody. Your attitude is your life. That was in business. Even so much more as a church. What people see of you is the attitude that you present. And if you present the peace of God in your heart and in your life, guess what? That's what they're going to see. They're going to see that you have peace in the midst of the storm. When the hurricane comes, yeah, we're going to make preparations, but I'm going to tell you what, we ain't going to fall apart because God's got it under control. God has got it. I don't care if it's the political system. I don't care if it's the sewer system. I don't care if it's the water plant system. God has got it under control. Always. We need to have that kind of peace in our hearts. That's what the Bible speaks about. We need to have that kind of peace in our hearts. You see, he tries to flood us with worry. He tries to uproot our faith. He tries to uproot, just like these trees were uprooted. I never seen so many trees up by the roots in all my life. But that's what the enemy tries to do to us, is uproot our faith. You see, if you're not rooted and grounded in this word right here, if your roots don't run deep, if you've let fungus and decay get a hold of the roots that you have set down, you'll topple over. But if they run deep and they're healthy and you stay in the Word and you stay strong in that peace of God that lives within you, He can't uproot you. He may blow on you. He may slap on you. He may cause all kinds of junk to happen around you. He may suggest things that try to play with your mind, but He can't uproot you. Because you got a good root system. That's what holds them trees in the ground, is that good root. And then he tries to blow everything away around you and cause chaos. You know, when you start losing parts of your house or, you know, it starts blowing off in the wind, say, oh, my God, what's next? You know, my oldest son, we had a hurricane, what was it, back in 2007, 2008, one Ike, I believe it was. The wind got a hold of one edge of his roof and rolled it back like a sardine can. The whole roof rolled off of the house into the front yard. Half of his house was totally uncovered. But you see, that's exactly what the enemy tries to do to us. But I can tell you that with the peace of God to come reside within you, to come live within you, to be that power within you against the enemy, he can't do anything to you. He can't uproot you. He can't roll your roof off. He can't blow everything away. And you see, he does all of that. He does every bit of these things to try to block the presence of God in your life. If he can get a foothold on you, he just keeps pecking away on that little spot. He just keeps pecking away and pecking away. That's when you got to stand up against him. You stand up against him, church. You got enough peace of God within you. You stand up and say, oh, wait just a minute. I am the head and not the tail, okay? Get away from me. Greater is he that lives within me than he that is in this world. See, you need to know some scripture. You need to know some things that have power in them. When you speak them in authority in the spirit, he got to go. It says when you submit to God, resist the enemy. You know, people forget that submitting to God part. They just want to resist the enemy and he's got to flee. But that ain't all that scripture is. Because if you don't submit to God, you got no power. You'll never be able to resist him. Look what shape the world is in. They can't resist him. In fact, they don't even try to resist him. They just go with him. The peace of God, the presence of God, when it lives within you, nothing will take you down. It might take everything away from you, but it ain't going to take you down. And you see, that's the only thing that's going to go is you. None of this other stuff's going to go. When we're gone from here, we're the only thing that go for us. We don't take no houses, lands, gold, silver, sawmills. You know, we don't take none of that stuff with us. Just us. You see, he tries to bring us that hurt in the middle of the storm, but with the peace of God firmly implanted within us, he can do none of those things. You see, we need to learn to do just like Jesus did over in Mark 4. Let's go to a scripture. I didn't preach at you enough. Let me give you a scripture. Mark 4. I think it's Mark. That's what my note says, is Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Can I tell you sometimes? You need to get on the move. Sometimes you just need to leave where you are and go where God wants you, no matter what it looks like. But if you ain't listening to him, you ain't going to hear him tell you where you need to be going. You need to have that peace of God when the storm comes that you still hear his voice. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. I always wondered about that statement. Read that. They took him along in the boat as he was. What does that mean? I'm asking y'all. What does that mean? As he was, did he need a bath? You know, did he need clean clothes? They took him just like he was. Maybe that's a whole message right there. They took him just for what he said, just for what he did, just like he was, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the ruler of the universe. They took him just like he was. And other little boats were also with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that they were already filling. The boat was sinking. Anybody ever been in a sinking boat? There you go. We got one taker. I got a friend of mine. He sunk his own boat. He forgot to put the plug in. He wasn't even in a storm. Just forgot to put the plug in. That's another message right there. Sometimes we forget. We don't even have to have a storm. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Can I tell you that Jesus is always at perfect rest? There ain't nothing catches him off guard. He's not sitting around twiddling his thumbs saying, oh my goodness, what am I going to do next for my children? What's going to happen? No, he don't do none of that. Nothing takes him by surprise. The awfulest sin, the worst thing you can think of, none of it takes him by surprise. He's at perfect peace because, you know, let me tell you something. You're going to see in this scripture right here, it says, and they awoke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? See, they immediately blamed it on Jesus. That's what I get out of it. They blamed it on him. And he arose. He didn't even say anything. He arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Can I tell you that his peace makes everything be still? If there's chaos running around in your heart, within your spirit, within your soul, can I tell you that the peace speaker can speak peace into your soul? He can speak peace into your heart. He can speak peace into your situation. Because he is peace. He is that peace that passes all understanding. He is that spirit that lives within you that says everything's going to be all right no matter what's going on. Everything. The peace speaker. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You see, everything is under subjection to him. The worst of the worst of the worst on the face of this earth are under subjection to him. They just don't know it. You see, as followers of the Most High God, as children of the King, we understand subjection. We understand submission. And we submit ourselves to him. That's how come we can have such a great peace to come live within us. We have no need to worry. No need to get out of sorts. He is right there for us. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. How many times does he have to say that before we get it? And then he said to them, why are you so fearful? I told you what that old pastor friend of mine used to say about people. They're fickle, foolish, fretful, forgetful, and fearful. They're either all five or at least one. Fearful. Fearful. Man. Fearful. Fear will take you down. Doubt will keep you out. Okay? It will. It will. Read the Word of God. It'll talk to you about it. You see? Let me tell you about a situation that I saw on Monday. I'm sitting there on my porch, which is tied to my carport, and I'm looking out into the hayfield on the front yard. And here comes one of my big resident does kind of walking out across the hayfield. The wind's blowing, man. The rain's pouring down. The wind, the trees are back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And here come her twin fawns out in the open middle of 10 acres of hayfield. And they're out there just prancing around, getting them something to eat, maybe drink a little water on the ground. They didn't act like they had a care in the world. But here's a hurricane. And lo and behold, them little fawns get hungry. And guess what? They go to nursing on mama. In the middle of the storm, with the wind blowing and the rain beating on them. That, my friend, is peace in the middle of the storm. That is doing what comes natural to you because that peace resides within you. I'll give you another example. I got a family of bluebirds. This is their third brood this year. I watched them raise two other broods, and they're still raising a brood right now. But yet in the midst of the storm, them babies, you know something? Them babies still got to eat. And they run back and forth, back and forth, back and forth just as hard as they can go. That wind didn't stop them. That rain didn't stop them. The trees flopping around, that didn't stop them. They still, on a regular basis, they was coming with them critters, feeding them kids. In the midst of the storm, life goes on. Same thing with my hummingbirds. Same thing with my house wrens. They're raising the third brood. And they still back and forth, back and forth. Here they come. I don't know what kind of critters they was catching, but they was bringing them. That is peace in the midst of the storm. That's the kind of peace that God has allowed for each and every one of us. No matter what the storm is. You know, sometimes death in a family is such a storm that it tears the family apart. I've seen it happen too many times. And then you take families that are super close, and when death comes, guess what? They get closer. When death comes, they get closer to God and they get closer to each other. Because they know where their peace is. They know where their source is. They know where to run to and not away from. You see, your attitude about it is your life. Your attitude is your life. That peace that passes all understanding is not something that you get by osmosis. It's something that you work on. It's something that it gets within you. It's something that you read about. It's something that you practice. Because if we ain't practicing, we can't get better at it. That's why Jesus said, you know, you got no faith, got little faith, got great faith. You got some faith. Do you have any faith? That tells me that somewhere in there, we got a whole bunch of folks. I don't know about y'all, but we need to be pushing forward to that great faith. Because that great faith produces great peace. That great faith in God produces a great peace that comes to reside within us. And nothing will take us down. I shared with y'all scripture last Sunday. Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall make them stumble. Nothing shall make them stumble. Great peace. I'm telling you, you need to get a hold to that peace and let that peace get a hold to you. It'll change your life. It'll change your heart. It'll change the way you do business. Anybody in here ever read the book by old Robert Shelton, called In His Steps. You've read it. You know what I'm talking about. It was a series of sermons that he put together back in the late 1800s. And it was meant to, it came out in the newspaper, each one. And it never was copyrighted, and people got a hold of it. That book, those words have been printed around the world. I like 60 different languages. And I buy copies of it back when I go to little bookstores or thrift shops. Whenever I see that, I buy those books and then I give them away. Because it'll make a difference in your life. It's all about a church who began to ask, what would Jesus do? They patterned their lives from that moment on what would Jesus do. Everything that they did, business, personal, whatever that it was, what would Jesus do? That's where that WWJD came from. What would Jesus do? Well, I can tell you that he is the peace speaker. He is the ultimate peace. And anything that he does, that's what we ought to be doing. Anything that he said, that's what we ought to be saying. Anything that he planned, that's what we ought to be following. Because he is that peace speaker. He is the one that can give you that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that comes to reside in your heart only by his Spirit. All we got to do is start learning to live that way. Everything that we do, we depend upon him. I wrote down, peace be still. The depth of your peace in your life is directly proportional to the depth of your faith. It's directly proportional to it, to the depth of your faith. Great faith, great peace. No faith, no peace. You can see it in the hearts and lives of people that don't serve God. They have no peace. They have no peace. They're never satisfied. That reminds me of a little deal that says that a rich man is seldom satisfied, but a satisfied man is always rich. You think about that. See, when you're satisfied, when Jesus said, be content with such as you have, you're rich. You're rich in him. You're rich in the things that money can't buy and death can't take away. His peace. His peace. You see, when you have no peace, fear is easily takes over. Fear easily takes over. It will make for wrong decisions and it will make for bad decisions. Those all come with fearfulness. I'm going to tell you what, fear and worry are two of your biggest enemies. They're the, not the dynamic duo, they are the terrible duo. Fear and worry. They can single-handedly take you down if you let them. But you see, with that great peace of God in your life, they don't have a chance. Because you just tell them, get behind me. You got no part of me, get behind me. You can't do anything to me unless I let you, and I ain't letting you, so get behind me. Go head on. Let's turn over to John 16. We still got another hour. So. I'm just kidding. John 16, let's start with verse 25. These things I have spoken to you, figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. Can I tell you that this book right here makes it plain? People want plain talk. They want the truth right up front. Here it is. But do they pay attention? Do they take it to heart? See, that's the problem. You ever read something and then 5 minutes later you don't remember what you read? Thank you. I do the same thing. But I'm going to tell you what, when the Spirit of God speaks to you, there are things that He says to you you ain't never going to forget. And it wasn't written down on a piece of paper. He said it to you right here. Right here. Firmly implanted. Well, you see, with the peace of God in your life, no one can take that away. They can't take it away. I got things that He spoke to me just in my private of privates, right in my heart of hearts, right in my spirit of spirits, that nobody can ever take away from me. They can't convince me of anything different because I know who spoke to me. The peace speaker spoke it to me. Can't take it away. And then He said, in that day you will ask in my name, and I will, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to Him, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need of anyone to question you. By this, we believe that you came forth from God. Here it is right here, folks. That's what He's talking about. The Word. Speaking plainly to each one of us. Can I tell you that the channel of peace, that great peace, that channel of peace is what will firmly implant and be that conduit for that Word to become plainly implanted in your heart. I'm telling you, there's no other religion in the world that has grace. You can go look at all of them. None of them have grace. Not all of them have that great love. And if they do, they don't talk about it the way we talk about it. Unconditional. There are conditions on it. But He has unconditional love, and He has that grace. I'm going to tell you, between those two, that ought to put such a peace in your heart as a believer that you'll never be able to get away from it. Never. Follow after Him. His steps are plain. In His steps. Walk in His steps. That's all you got to do. And He will take care of the rest. He's got to follow Him. Won't you come, Sister Ruth? Then Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Oh, you think you do, huh? You think so? You think you believe now? Of course, later on, they found out just how much they didn't. And then He said, indeed, the hour is coming, yes, it has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. You may have peace. The Holy Spirit's going to recall all these things. You may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You want to be an overcomer? You got to live your life in harmony with Jesus. End of story. I'm telling you what, if you do that, you're going to win every time. You want a sure thing on a bet? Bet on the man riding a donkey, okay? That's a sure thing. Everybody's always looking for a sure thing. And you know, when I hear that kind of talk, that's when I talk to them about Jesus. Because let me tell you something. Jesus is a sure thing. It's a sure thing. You just got to hang in there with Him. You got to go with Him. You got to walk with Him, talk with Him, commune with Him, sup with Him. He said, if you knock, I'm going to open up and come in and eat with you. How much closer can He get than that? How much closer? I'm going to tell you what, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to come. If you think that maybe you're doing a little backsliding, you need to come. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's no safer place than these altars. No safer place than in a time of prayer. Listen, everybody in this building has been there at one time. We've all been there at one time, lost and undone without Jesus Christ. I'm the chiefest of sinners in this whole building, I promise you. Because I have been there. But I'm going to tell you what, when He came into my heart and into my life on that roof on March 7th of 1987, He changed me. He changed me. He can do that for you too. Because like I said, I don't know why He chose me that day, but He did. And I surrendered. I had to surrender. It was either that or I was going to fall off that roof and die, one of the two. You know, I surrendered. You see, now, as Sister Ruth's playing, where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I want to hang on to the hem of His garment. I want Him to take me by the hand. Do you know Him today? Because if you don't, you need to come. The Bible says today's the day, now's the time. May not be no tomorrow. Might not be time to get out of this building. Who knows? Another storm may come. All right. Stand to your feet with me, church. You know, we need to remember, like Tommy said, we need to remember our nation. I don't care what. Our nation is in sad shape. Now, the hearts and lives of people that understand freedom and they understand liberty and they understand how this country was built on faith through God, we understand that. You see, we're not going to waver. We're not going to go backwards. We're going to continue to move forward. But the people that are not doing that, they need some help. And Jesus is the only one that can help them. Because I can tell you, I ain't never been able to change nobody's heart. Now, I've been around when their heart got changed, but it wasn't me. I might have watered a seed or planted a seed, but I'm going to tell you what, the fruit belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. He's the one that does it. He's the one that reaches in and touches His heart, and He can do that through each one of us. He can do that. I promise you, He can do that. I've seen it happen too many times. I've seen signs, wonders, and miracles. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen the lame walk. I've seen the blind see. I've told y'all before, I've been very, very fortunate in my short walk with God to have witnessed many of these things. And what He's done for one, He'll do for another. He opened my blind eyes some 38 years ago, although I thought I saw perfectly freely, perfectly good, perfectly, well, I never have been 20/20. I've always wore glasses. But you see, I had perfect vision that day. I could see Him plainly. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray that this nonsense of chaos would stop and people would begin to turn their hearts and lives around to serve God. What a difference that would make in the United States of America if our leaders got saved and started following the Word. You know, some of them, they talk about being Christian. They even quote a few scriptures. But I'm going to tell you what, the actions speak louder than the words. Y'all remember that. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. So let's pray that way. Y'all just pray in your own way. I'll pray. Father, Lord, You see all our national leaders. our state leaders, our city governments, God, our county governments. And God, you see the evilness, Lord, that has pervaded each and every one of these offices, God. Well, Lord, you tell us in your word, Lord, that we should be praying for those who have rule and authority over us. So, Father, we lift them up today, God. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as children of the Most High God, Lord, you said that we could call upon you in Jesus' name, and whatsoever we should ask, Lord, that it would be done. We come believing that today, Lord, for I know, Lord, that believing that is key. Just praying the prayer without the name of Jesus has no power. So, Father, we pray today, Lord, with the peace in our heart, Lord, that you've got everything under control, and that as we speak these words, Lord, there'll be those, Lord, that their hearts would be melted, their words would change, Lord, that their minds, Lord, would get right, that their spirit, Lord, and their soul, Lord, would get saved, that they truly, Lord, would be after you, Lord, for the right reasons, Lord. No longer, Lord, for political gain. No longer, Lord, for monetary gain. No longer, Lord, for power, Lord, in their position. But to know, Lord, that you are on the throne and your word is always truth. And your word, Lord, is the plan that we live by. Ask you, Father, to reach and touch their families, touch all of their aides, all of those, Father, that work with them and around them, that, Lord, that we would see a difference in this nation. We would see a difference in these offices. And I know, Lord, all that can be done is what you can do. For, Lord, we speak it in Jesus' name, Lord. We're going to follow after you, Lord, and we pray, Father, that they will follow after you also. Ask you, Father, to instill that great peace, Lord, within each and every one of our hearts, Lord, that as we face life storms, that we are not blown and tossed with the wind and wave, that, Lord, we remain steadfastly anchored in Jesus Christ. Let our anchor hold, Lord, each and every day, Lord, that we present you to each and every one that we meet, Lord, in this community and wherever that we go, Lord, whatever grocery store, gas station, whatever place of business, whoever that we meet, Lord, we show them you instead of us. Because, Lord, we'll be rooted and grounded in your word, and your peace will abide within us. Ask you, Father, for a hedge of protection, Lord, around each and every family here today. Those, Father, that could not be with us, those, Father, that are out there, Lord, they're still without power, without water. You know right where they are. I ask you, Father, to bring them the help that they need, Lord, through your people. Bring them that help that they need, Lord, and bring them your peace that will pass all understanding for their hearts and their lives and into their situation. And, Father, I just give you all the praise. I give you glory. And I give you the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yeah.